Welcome back to the game. Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fordner with you for the next 32 minutes and 50 seconds before K-State baseball coverage of the Wildcats and number 6 Texas Tech coming up tonight from Toynton Family Stadium. As you heard in the update, we're going to be getting a call from Jeff Mitty here in just a few minutes, and we're going to go through a variety of topics with him, including the Wildcats' new player, Kaylee Jones, a JUCO player out of California that K-State adds to the 2017 class. She will be eligible to play immediately and will have 2 seasons here in Manhattan. I'm actually looking at ESPN's WNBA mock draft right now. That draft, the WNBA draft, is tonight. Certainly not something that gets a whole lot of attention, but it's a little bit notable when you have a player that potentially could be in the mix. And Brianna Lewis, that's something else I want to ask Coach Mitty about, his thoughts on the possibility that Brianna Lewis could be getting drafted tonight. But I'm just looking at this first-round mock draft. There's only 12 WNBA teams, so you can't read into it too far, but only one Big 12 player. That's a little bit surprising to me. The Big 12 has generally been, over the past 10 years, the best conference in women's college basketball. That one player is no surprise, Alexis Jones out of Baylor. But one of the top 5 picks here, the number 5 pick to San Antonio, is a player that we had a chance to see in person a few weeks ago. Stanford forward, I should say, Erica McCall. Very, very good player. I mean, that Stanford team, that was a buzzsaw that K-State ran into in that second round, and they ended up going all the way to the Final Four and had an opportunity to potentially play for a national championship. They lost to South Carolina, but man, it's been a really fun run for K-State women's basketball over the past couple of seasons, getting to the round of 32 both of those times, and it looks really positive as far as the outlook moving forward, with K-State being in the top 30 with their recruiting class for this upcoming season.
Yeah, there's a lot of transition with this team for next year. There's basically 6 players out and 5 coming in at this point, and K-State was so good last year. They got to host, which was an amazing thing to see, hosting in first and second round of the NCAA tournament. Unfortunately, with that being the 7 seed, you run into a 2 seed, which was Stanford. And, I mean, like you mentioned, Erica McCall, she's no doubt a first-rounder in the WNBA draft. But at the same time, K-State had some great players as well. Kindred Wiesman won the 3-point contest in Phoenix a couple weekends ago. And, you know, Brianna Lewis, she's one of the best 5s in the country.
Yeah.
And she was a great rebounder, great scorer. She had a little bit of difficult time with the bunnies a little bit here and there, but that's just how it is as a big, and especially in Big 12 play. It doesn't get a lot easier when you enter conference play.
Yeah, we're going to be talking with him in just a moment, and that is something else that I want to ask him about, is the 3-point contest. That was one of the – I can honestly say that was one of the most fun times that I've had just sitting back and watching a sporting event in the last couple of years, was watching Kindred Wiesman accomplish that. It was fun because I was rooting for her. I really liked her at K-State, and I thought that her leadership was impeccable, especially down the stretch of the season. And seeing her accomplish that and beat the male champion for the overall title was really neat. We're now joined by the head coach of K-State women's basketball, Jeff Mitty. Coach, really appreciate your time in joining us for a few minutes this afternoon. Let's just start right there. Where did you watch the 3-point contest from, and how cool was that to see what Kindred Wiesman did?
You know, it's pretty cool. We had my wife and I had just we were at the Nike dinner, and so we were at the Final Four, so we were at the Nike dinner, and so we ended up at a sports bar around the corner from the Nike dinner. We rushed out of there, and so anyways, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. A lot of people in the sports bar. There wasn't very many people in there, and a couple people said, "You know that girl?" I said, "Yeah, we know a little bit." And, I didn't tell them I coached her. I just said, "Yeah, we know her." And so, anyways, it was pretty cool.
Oh, you are a more humble man than me. I would have been telling the entire bar exactly who I was if I were in your position.
Well, I guess I could have told her that I taught her everything she knows, but that'd be a lie, too. So I didn't want to go that route either.
Coach, I want to ask you about, we found out today you signed a new player, Kaylee Jones, out of California. It's your fifth player of your recruiting class this year. I don't know if it's technically laid out. I mean, you might just be filling in the shoes of Lainey Page, but we've seen numbers in the release. She can score and rebound, but what does she bring to the table?
Yeah, no, you know, we've had this commitment for a while, so it really didn't have anything to do with anything. We felt like we needed to get some depth along the front line and continue to improve that area. This is a player that we identified that could do those things. Runs the floor real good. Block shots. We like her rebounding. We think her rebounding can be even better. She played on the number one team in California junior college system. There were a lot of rebounders on her team, so those numbers were a little spread out. So we just felt like we need to be continue to be the front line to be athletic. That was an area we really improved this year as far as rebounding, and we think that's an area that we got to continue to address.
Coach, when you have had a chance now to get all your travels out of the way, go into the Final Four and everything, and you can sit back and look back on the season that was, are you more or less satisfied than you were, say, when you were at the podium after the loss to Stanford with what your team accomplished this year?
Well, I think we made good strides. It's probably a little of both in that, we had an opportunity that we didn't play very well. And that's the disappointing part. But I think overall, I think we made progress again. I think we showed some consistency. Four more wins than a year ago against a tougher schedule is not easy to do. And we get three more wins in the league. So all of those things are not easy to do. So you don't take those things for granted. I thought our group, and then I did say at the podium afterwards, and they don't ever like me to, I don't like to talk about injuries during the year, but I do like to bring up, I think when players go the extra mile and they do everything to get to those kind of games, I think fans deserve to know how hard those kids worked to get to those games. And it wasn't just Wieseman. I mean, Kayla Goff worked to get there. Kyla Middlebrook battled things. So I didn't talk about those things during the season because I don't ever want them to be excuses, but at the same time, I did want our fans to know that we had a group that really had to fight to get to that point. So there's a lot of satisfaction in that part.
We're talking right now with the head women's basketball coach of Kansas State, Jeff Mitty. Coach, another event that I wanted to ask you about where you were and what your mindset was is Mississippi State's upset over at UConn in the Final Four. I was watching that in a bar, and I can honestly say that was the craziest moment of March Madness for me, both from the women's and the men's tournaments. I mean, it was just so out of nowhere and so crazy. What was your reaction to seeing that?
You know, we were at the game, and so we were at both those games that night, and it was just, it just never felt right for UConn all night. And Vic Schaefer and I have been friends for a long time, and so I was happy for Vic, and Vic felt like he had the team to get there this year and talking with him, and he sure did. And it was just, part of me says that game makes the streak even that much more impressive, because how do you not have just that kind of game for 111, whatever the number ended up being. I can't even remember now, but you know what I mean? So it really, it was an odd feeling watching the game, because there were many that thought Mississippi State had the game before against Baylor when Williams had the 41 that night, and it just continued on into that game.
Yeah, you raise a good point. I think that more impressive to me than the 111-game win streak was the fact that 108 of those wins were by double digits. That actually stood out to me more than the streak itself. So seeing that game as close as it was down the stretch, I just didn't even know how to feel. But I imagine that being there in the arena was pretty special. Moving on with Coach Jeff Mitty of K-State Women's Basketball, another big event coming up tonight, the WNBA Draft. And there has been some talk about the possibility that Bree Lewis could be in the mix to get a draft pick. What do you think her chances are, and what do you think she could bring to the table of a WNBA team?
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. I'm actually having the team over to the house tonight, and we're just going to kind of sit around and eat some food and watch the draft. So they're going to be here in a little bit. I think it's going to be close. I've heard from a good, probably about half the league in conversations with them. I think the Liberty could take her potentially. That would be a team that has expressed some interest in her. L.A., I talked to L.A. on Monday, I think. Dallas is a team with some extra picks in there that has a need for a center. They may take Coates, but Coates would be injured. So, I mean, you know, there's some advantages. If you're not a first-round pick, there are some advantages to not getting picked because she'll definitely be in a camp somewhere. The advantage of getting picked, if it is the right team, is that they obviously see you as a need filler in some areas, and so that can be advantageous. Now, if you end up getting picked by a team that's got four or five picks and they take two centers before you, then they're just throwing darts on a board and seeing if one of them can come out of the mix, you know? So there are a lot of ways to look at it. I think she's got a chance. I think most of what I heard is going to be middle second round to third round to not drafted. So we'll sit here and see, and if not, she'll be in a camp somewhere, and we'll figure that out as the night goes.
I'm curious about
what I think she can help is I really think that she can help defensively. She can really help. This is a shot blocker that lengthwise she's almost 6'9" in terms of her wingspan. The league has a need for that right now. Griner being in the league has once again turned that more towards you better have some centers that can defend a little bit. And then offensively, where I think she can most help is that just somebody that can score over right or left. The pick and roll game is a part of her game that's got to get better for the league. The pace with which she plays that pick and roll game's got to get better. But I think she can definitely help somebody.
Sorry, Coach, didn't mean to cut you off there, but I want to ask you about, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm interested in your opinion about the eligibility for the WNBA draft. It's not like the men's. There is not any one and done. You have to be a college graduate of a four-year college. You have to be at least 22 years old. Just what are your thoughts about the eligibility of the WNBA draft?
Oh, you know, I think if anybody ever challenged it, it'd probably be done. The money's not great enough. I am a little surprised that some of the tops don't start to look at Europe a little more. But you got to be a really mature young lady and family to say, let's go to Europe at the age of 19 and play basketball because that is a different lifestyle. There is more money there. I'm in favor of, I almost like the baseball rule in that I think you need to be 21 or a junior. I just think for the college game, it is such a great experience to be at the college game. And quite honestly, we're going to have more fans at our games than most WNBA crowds. And I just think it's a great experience. And I think for the college game, I think it's good to have those young ladies here for at least 3 years. Now, when I play UConn, I wish there was the one-and-done rule. You know, I wish all those players would just leave. So there's the other side of that as well. You know, that's what people ask all the time, why is there no parity? Well, part of it is exactly that, is that the best college basketball players in the women's game stay for 4 years.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it, but I'm definitely on your side as far as thinking that UConn should be exempt from that rule. But Coach Jeff Mitty with us here for just a couple more minutes. Coach, before we let you go, it's going to be, you know, an action-packed offseason as it always is for you, trying to get things shored up for 2017-2018. What is your biggest philosophy or your biggest priority, I guess I should say, as far as on-court improvement, what you want to do with your team to get ready for this upcoming season?
Yeah, we're going to be a different team. We're going to be a different team without the low post presence of Lou. We lose our backup center as well in Schiebel. I could see this team shooting the three a ton next year, and I could see that every player on the roster could be able to stretch out there and play for the most part. We believe that Peyton Williams and Eternity Willock can both shoot the three and both extend out, and you didn't see them do that at all this year. So we got a great opportunity because not only not when you talk about adding a JUCO player, I don't believe that you can build a roster with JUCO players because they take too long to get turned. But we also have the Italy trip this summer, so we're going to get an extra 10 practices. That's going to be a big advantage for doing those kind of things. So we're really going to look to expand our offense. We are going to look to shoot the three a lot more. And I think you're going to see a different side of some of our players, particularly Williams and Willick, their ability to stretch the floor.
Well, a lot more threes. That's music to the ears of your PA announcer here in the studio. Mitch is very excited to get to use that again next year. So,
well, I only like them when they go in from our end. But, you know, everybody wants people to shoot the three. I want them to make the three. So there is a difference.
There is a big difference, no doubt about that. Coach, really appreciate the time once again. Best of luck to you guys moving forward and to Bree Lewis with the draft tonight. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
That is Jeff Mitty, the head coach of the K-State women's basketball team. Always enjoy talking basketball with Coach Mitty. That's one of the reasons that we bring up these other non-K-State related stories like UConn losing and everything like that, because he's a knowledgeable guy, well-spoken guy, and he's got good opinions on all this stuff.
The one thing at games when I'm a PA announcer that I like to do the least is the 4-3.
Why?
Because when K-State kind of trained me into doing it, they're like, kind of give it the Dave Lewis type of thing, the way he does it. I'm just like, I can't do it that good. I don't have the voice like that.
That's funny. All right, we're going to head to our next break. We're about 10 minutes away from You Can't Be Serious, but when we come back, an update on the player that I mentioned in the first segment, Oklahoma cornerback Parrish Cobb, who was arrested last night, plus a Snapchat video has a new KU basketball player in hot water. That's coming up next on The Game.